We're for sharing innovative treatments and preventing disease before it ever develops. Learn how our team is working to better care for you on this edition of UVA Health System Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
More than 2 million Americans have atrial fibrillation, the most common type of abnormal heart rhythm in the U.S. Atrial fibrillation can make you five times more likely to have a stroke, but a minimally invasive procedure can help your heart beat regularly again and may reduce your risk for stroke. My guest is Dr. John Ferguson. He's an electrophysiologist at the UVA Atrial Fibrillation Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ferguson. First, explain to the listeners, if you would, what is atrial fibrillation?
Good morning, Melanie. Good to be with you. Atrial fibrillation is an abnormal rhythm. It's an electrical abnormality in the heart. It occurs in the atria, which are the top chambers of the heart. The heart's got four chambers, and the atria are the top two chambers. And atrial fibrillation particularly affects the left atrium. Instead of beating with a nice regular rhythm of somewhere between 60 and 100 beats a minute, atrial fibrillation produces an electrical storm, which effectively just makes the atria quiver. And these rapid electrical impulses are conducted from the atria, the top chambers, to the ventricles, the lower chambers, which are the main pumping chambers. And the effect of this is that it causes the ventricles to beat irregularly and very, very quickly. So the symptoms that a patient commonly would experience would be palpitations and irregular sensation of heartbeats in the chest, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, and occasionally chest pain.
Who is at risk for atrial fibrillation? And so you've explained the symptoms and pretty much even the causes. I love that you use the term electrical storm, because the heart really is an electrical muscle. It's really an electrical device in our body. So who is at risk, and is there anything we can do to decrease that risk?
Well, atrial fibrillation predominantly affects older people, and in fact, it affects almost 1 in 10 patients or people over the age of 75. It can affect much younger age groups as well, it may occur without any other cardiac or comorbidities, but it is more common in people who have high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, heart failure, heart valve disease, and also in patients who have other severe illnesses or undergoing heart surgeries.
If you've been diagnosed... Go on.
So I was just going to answer your second question of how can you prevent it. And we don't have very good data of preventing atrial fibrillation, but we certainly think that the same healthy lifestyle for preventing coronary artery disease is very good for preventing atrial fibrillation.
So what are the treatment options if someone is diagnosed, they feel that fluttering, they go to see a doctor, it gets diagnosed as AF, then what are the treatment options available?
Well, as you mentioned in your segment before the interview, one of the important risks of atrial fibrillation is stroke. And so before we even start thinking about treating symptoms, we think first about preventing stroke, and we look at certain clinical risks to tell us how high an individual patient's risk of stroke would be. And those clinical factors that we look at, the presence of heart failure, hypertension, age over 75, diabetes, and a prior history of stroke. And for all of those clinical factors, if you had those, they all raise your risk of stroke. And depending on how high your risk of stroke is, we give blood thinners to prevent stroke. Either aspirin for those who are at relatively low risk of stroke, but as the risk increases, we use stronger blood thinners or anticoagulants such as warfarin, Pradaxa, Xarelto, or Eliquis. Those are some of the main blood thinners we use. So that's the first component of treating atrial fibrillation, is preventing stroke, and it's very, very important. The second component is managing a patient's symptoms, and there are broadly two strategies for treating patient symptoms. The first is that in patients who are elderly, not very active, and who may not be very symptomatic from the atrial fibrillation, we can simply leave them in atrial fibrillation, but give them medications to slow down their heart rate. And that is fine for elderly people who are not very symptomatic. But those who are symptomatic, the rate control strategy doesn't alleviate symptoms very well. And we may well consider what we call a rhythm control strategy, to try and restore regular sinus rhythm and keep people in sinus rhythm. The treatments for restoring rhythm are electrical cardioversion, a short anesthetic with an electrical shock while the patients are asleep. That's very effective in getting people back into rhythm, but it's not effective for keeping people in regular rhythm. So we frequently need to consider medications such as antiarrhythmic drugs or catheter ablation.
Okay, so catheter ablation. We don't have a lot of time, Dr. Ferguson, and we want to make sure to get to this as quickly as we can. So what are the benefits of ablation therapy versus other options?
So antiarrhythmic drugs are only effective in about 45% of cases of atrial fibrillation, whereas catheter ablation is effective in a higher proportion of cases. And in the best candidates, it is effective in up to 90% of patients. And the great advantage is that after having this procedure, you do not need lifelong medications.
That's fantastic. So who is a candidate? And then why would someone, in the last minute or so, give us your best advice why someone would choose UVA for their heart rhythm treatments?
So, the best candidates are patients who are early in the disease process of their atrial fibrillation. The more years that people have atrial fibrillation, the less successful catheter ablation or antiarrhythmic drugs is in treating it. Catheter ablation has evolved since 1999. UVA was actually one of the first hospitals, one of the very early hospitals, not only in this country but in the world, to investigate catheter ablation for atrial fibrillation. And we've done more than 6,000 cases over the last 10 years and have developed a team to treat atrial fibrillation and do this with a high success rate and a very, very low complication rate. So UVA has about as much experience as anywhere else in the country, and we've had some very good results over the years.
Thank you so much, Dr. John Ferguson. You are listening to UVA Health System Radio. For more information, you can go to uvahealth.com. That's uvahealth.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.